mid-vacation, I felt compelled that this morning we would have a slideshow of 48 selfies with clock towers. That's what I thought as I enjoyed my vacation, but God had other plans. So we'll have to wait for the 48 selfies with clock towers picture. We did visit St. Peter's and the Duomo in Florence and the Cathedral in Pisa, Sistine Chapel, St. Mark's Square Cathedral in Siena, St. Michael's Lutheran in Hamburg. It wasn't that I wanted to be super religious. It's just anyone that's been to Europe knows that that's one the center points of a lot of the old towns is the churches. So I found it fascinating to go to these places. And I heard profound, God-inspired messages from godly orators. But they weren't in any of those places. I won't restate what I heard. I couldn't do it anyways, but rather I'd like to share a thread of thought that extended through these messages of what I heard. Because what I heard over my vacation is I heard messages from three great teachers, three saints, Saint Bruce, Saint Matthew, and Saint Brian. I'm not joking. Bible says you're saints. Saint Bruce, Saint Matthew, and Saint Brian. And if you haven't heard the messages from these three men, then you can ask Nick for the link, because that's how I was able to hear these three messages. And as I heard these three messages, I was asked the question by God, or God asked me the question, what are you learning? What's the thread that goes through these messages? It's like going into an English garden. There's thousands of things that you can enjoy, the fragrance of being in the garden when you listen to these three messages. But there is a thread of continuity, a thread of thought, a thread of teaching that goes through all three messages. I encourage you to listen to them back to back, and I think God will also be revealing things through that. There's many things to learn, but as I listened to these three messages, what I was drawn into was the paradox, the mystery, the contrast, the buoyancy, the perseverance required, the surrender, the recreation of our faith in Christ. You know, when we think about these things, when we think about the paradox of our faith, when we think of how we wrestle with this and how we wrestle with it in our world and how we think about these things overall, it takes a perspective change. It demands of you that you change what you've typically done. It demands of you and I that we pause. Pause for a moment and allow the image of God upon us to dig deep into who we are and what God has for us and take us to something that we've not experienced. Oh, I know there's a little bit of fear in that. I know there's uncertainty in that. I know that it's something perhaps you haven't exercised all week long, but I'd like you to do it with me this morning. So, everyone, please stand up. Please stand up and do a 360, right or left, it doesn't matter. And if you choose to change seats, you can do that if you want to change perspective. But I hope by doing a 360, you've at least changed a little bit of your perspective and paused. You can sit down. What changing your perspective does, it's not illogical, it's just beyond your logic, this paradox. It's not foolishness. It's rather great wisdom. It's not weakness, it's great power. So let me just summarize, if you're willing to do this with me, through these messages. Bruce came 3 weeks ago, and he spoke about resiliency and buoyancy in our faith. I don't know about you, but I want resiliency and buoyancy in my faith. From Hebrews 10, he spoke about the fact that we stand side by side with each other going through great conflict that God allows. We belong to Jesus. He is our valued possession, and we are his valued possession. We persevere even though we have great loss in this life. Hebrews says this. You suffered along with those who were in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. You did not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded because you know something greater is coming. We have a lasting reward, our salvation, and God is present with us even through the darkest times, through the paradox and mystery. We need to have growing faith in Christ and to live by His will. Just a brief summary, you can listen to Bruce's messages as well, but the resiliency and buoyancy that's demanded in our faith is something that you can't reject. It's implicit, and it's a paradox. Matthew came the next week and spoke to us about the Ten Commandments. And as I listened to this message, I imagined him this way, sharing with us the Ten Commandments, just like Charlton Heston. As Matthew shared with us, he talked about the 9+1 commands. The one command, a gift from God. In fact, all 10 of them are gifts from God. But the one that he focused on was remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, which I believe the fact that you're here today is one intent of keeping today holy, set apart for God. While the world defines this day as recreation and leisure, having fun, doing what you want, we serve a higher power. And serving that higher power means we finish our work and we admire and enjoy it just like God did. We enjoy time with Him in His Word, in prayer, in conversation with Him. We rest. We rebalance our time. The things that you haven't done all week long, do it on a Sunday. Rebalance yourself, so to speak. We are part of Christ's great mission in us, extending these same freedoms to others. Sabbath is not to be restrictive or prohibitive, but attractional. It's a gift. Matthew mentioned that any of us that have worked like 21 days in a row, I forget the number you mentioned, but if you work for long periods of time because your work demands it, there's something that you really are missing at the end of it. Like you're aching for a break. It's because God has given you a day off. Take it. Take it to be with Him. He is more than enough. We sang that earlier. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. He is more than enough, but we understand Him being more than enough through a paradox, through a mystery. Paradox. Mystery. Following week, last week, Brian came and spoke to us with a picture that he has up in his office. This picture. This picture that he has up in his office as he spoke about surrendering, relaxing, and humbling yourself. I thought those were brilliant in that, as I reflected on what Brian said, all three of them should be done and can be done at the same time with all three of them either being first, second, or third in any order. Surrendering, relaxing, and didn't we read that earlier in Micah 6? And humbling yourself. Brian said, Christians experience many paradoxes and seemingly illogical aspects that are essential principles. What? Let me read that again. Christians, you and I experience many paradoxes and seeming illogical aspects that are essential principles. When we surrender, we receive guidance and grace and stronger faith. He used Paul's letter to the Romans. He shared this thought. In order to surrender, relax, humble yourself, we're called to die to self. To take on the only person who qualifies as the new master and the new Lord, Jesus Christ. A paradox, a mystery. So what were these three men teaching us through these messages? Well, many things. But as I listened, in fact, before I listened to the messages, God was beginning to share these thoughts with me. Because as I was returning on my trip, God was speaking to me about paradox. Then I listened to the messages from our three deacons. And He confirmed in me what He wanted me to share with you this morning. And that is, there is a paradox, a mystery, a contrast, a buoyancy, a perseverance required, a surrender, a recreation of our faith in Christ that is required. In fact, the way that I began to think about this, what these three men said in various ways is about changing our perspectives. The spiritual waters that we enter into when we think about paradox and the mystery of God's will for us, there is danger in. There is risk in. But there's also joy and great reward. Imagine being a fish on dry land and finding yourself breathing. Imagine being a swimmer underneath the water and able to breathe. Or imagine being a swimmer and falling down into the sky as you swim. That's a paradox. Doesn't make any sense to us. But that's what I believe in part our faith is calling us to. It's exhibited in the New Testament. The good news here, Jesus has already lived out this paradox. He's already been there. He's already fallen out of the water into the sky and breathed nowhere no man has breathed before. He draws us into it. In fact, if you have been walking with Christ for any time at all, you're already living out some of this paradox. You're living it out. You feel the angst at times between having one foot in this world and one foot in heaven. It's an angst that we don't often talk about as Christians. One person said it's spiritual schizophrenia. I thought, whoa, what a powerful term. In but not of this world. Paul talks about this. I long to go to be with the Lord, but I know I need to stay with you. What do I do? God has created this, and you've been in it. So I guess the question is, are you willing to consider this morning the mystery and the paradox of our faith? Because I can't demand that you go here with me. It's your choice in thinking in a different way, with a different perspective of this mystery and paradox. Let's look at a text from Paul. Paul speaks about this mystery and paradox of our faith in 1 Corinthians 2. Let's read this together. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Now hold on just for a moment. What is Paul referring to? What comes before this? Paul is speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls it his gospel. Why does he call it his gospel? Because he is owned by it. He's possessed by it. He will give his all for it. It's not that he invented it. It's like me saying that I'm a Canadian and Canada belongs to me. No, the country defines me by me being in it. It's my country. Sure it is. But it's much bigger than just me. Paul is saying his gospel. We, the people with Paul as they shared the gospel, spoke a message of wisdom among the mature in Christ. But not the wisdom of the paradox? Not the wisdom of this age. We declare God's wisdom. What is it? It's a mystery that has been hidden. Hidden because Jesus Christ did not yet come. You realize that the newest Christian has a depth of this mystery that John the Baptizer did not. Jesus says so. Greater is the one in the kingdom. The one in the kingdom is greater than John because John did not experience Jesus' death and resurrection. We do. We have this mystery. And God destined it for you, before time began. He carries on and says this. Let's read. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. God has great things planned for you that are beyond your definition, beyond what your brain can put together, beyond what your eye can see and what your ear can hear. And how is it revealed? How's it revealed? Through the Spirit. Now, I have, up until this week, thought, oh, this is a fascinating mystery that I won't really get until I get to heaven. But Paul contradicts that. He says this. Let's read. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts, even their own, except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. This passage says that it is revealed, the mystery is revealed to us already. We have it already. The Spirit who searches the depth of God inhabits us. That's the mystery and paradox. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, this is, as I think about this paradox, I can't grasp this. I don't have the theological tools to be able to describe for you, even with 25 years of interaction with you, to be able to tell you the mystery of God. It was St. Augustine that was challenged to write a book about the Trinity. And he spent like 25 years or something trying to put it together. And he was walking along the seaside one time praying to God for more wisdom to be able to write a treatise about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to him, Augustine, see this water that you're walking by. Yes? What you have so far and what you've written is like a drop of water. Truth about who I am is like the sea. It's beyond our brain. If you as a Christian think, well, at some point in my life, I'm going to hit that maturity level whereby I know all things in God. Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming positively because God will continue to reveal to you a depth of what He has for you. But my question, as I thought about this and reflected on this, was how do I live in the paradox? Because I still have to live in this world. How do I live in the mystery of God day to day? Because I think I, a long time ago, gave up the right to go off and be a monk or a hermit somewhere. I have a wife. I have two children. I can't, as some people did, say, well, I want to understand this mystery, so I'm just going to lock myself in a monastery somewhere. We have to live in this world. How do we do this? This is where I'm looking to you to share the wisdom that the Holy Spirit is giving to you about how to live in this paradox. But let's look at some ways. In a world of fear, God invites us to learn and to live in faith. This means the 5 o'clock news that seeks to have you be sensationalized into being afraid of something that could happen to you, you're to say, no, that's not the way my God is caring for me. At 9/11, CBC did an interview across Canada of what people felt about terrorism, in part to define what terrorism was. Because their contention was that terrorism was in part inflicted upon people to cause a general sense of terror everywhere. They interviewed a woman in Iqaluit who said, I'm so afraid that someone is going to come to my community and do the same thing they did in New York City. I had to ask the question as I was driving, do they know where Iqaluit is? Right? And are they willing to suffer the cold to get up there if they wanted to do something, an act of terror? That is true terrorism, but God has not called you to live that way. He's not called you to be afraid. He's called you to peace. In a world of self, he's called you to surrender. Brian spoke about this. Thinking about yourself, I know it's a human reality to think about ourselves. That's the way we're in somewhat made. But God gives you the power to not think about yourself all the time, to think about others, to surrender to his will for you. In a world of striving, as Matthew taught us, he called us to rest and reliance on God. So when it feels like all of our financial numbers are all in the red, to pray, not to worry about it. In a world of indifference, where people just don't care, it calls you to love, it calls me to love. And as I experience in my life, when I just don't have it to give it, then I need to ask him for that love. In a world of despair, read some of our great scientists who say things like, our only hope is to get to another planet because this one is not going to survive. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. In a world of despair, you're called to hope. So when people talk around you like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. This whole thing's going to fall apart. We're going to turn into a country of anarchists. Say, no, we're not. There is a God who gives me hope. In a world of endings, God calls you to beginnings. You know, like the relationships that you think are kind of rough right now. Do you think, well, I don't know whether I'm ever going to talk to that person again in my life. Sure you are. Because you're about beginnings, not about endings. They may choose that, but you're about beginnings. You're about forgiving people enough times that eventually they say, this is a worthwhile relationship for me to have. A world about aging and death, new life. When Pat led us in our finding purpose post-retirement, what was fascinating to hear from the ladies of the group as we met was that our world around us tells us that we're aging, becoming irrelevant, and we're going to die meaningless. And every one of those women in the group, in their faith, fought against it because they don't feel like they're aging and dying. They have new life to give, like Caleb in the Old Testament. So when people talk to you about, oh, I'm just getting old and no relevance anymore, that's not your story. You're to live in the paradox of having new life all the time because God can make meaning of your life. There's many examples of that in our own church community. John Madden was teaching me spiritually the day before he died. New life. That's the paradox. We hear it around us. All these things we hear around us. This is what God's called you to live in that paradox. So tell me, what other paradoxes do you see? What other paradoxes do you experience in your life around you? In a world of greed, God calls you to give freely, for you've been given. Anything else come to mind? In a world of racism, you're to be respectful of each other. In a world of individualism, you're called to community. In a world of demands, you're called to give. In a world of confusion, you're called to seek the truth. Other paradoxes that you see in your Christian life? It's something that I am so excited about because I think I've just scratched the surface on it in my own life. And I believe I'm called to seek to better understand Christ's brilliance and wisdom and truth. To speak against the world that we live in and say, no, that's not going to happen. Some of what's on this side here is nuclear disaster. Did it happen? Not with a bomb. Y2K? Anybody remember that one? Did that destroy all the computers in the world? No? You think God's going to let computers end his reign? Don't think so. I want us to think about this over time. Because we in this church exhibit an even greater mystery. Because we are Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church at the Center, a church that actually has no church. I've had people say that to me. Well, you're in a church that has no church. It's a paradox. It's a mystery. We're actually in a Baptist church that has no tank. In fact, it actually has bar rules on the side of the wall. Your pastor is an enigma, and our members are concealed brilliance. You are. Shine like stars, the New Testament says, in a crooked and depraved generation. How do you shine like stars in a crooked and depraved generation based on what Paul says here? And how are we to live in this mystery? Well, here's the answer. We declare God's wisdom. We declare it. We speak the truth when we have opportunity to do so, just like Peter called us to. We share this mystery that actually has been hidden, that people won't naturally say, oh, I see, I've never seen that before. It has to be revealed for them, but God designed it, destined it for our glory. And this goodness is prepared for those who love him, revealed to us by his Spirit. Because the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit is searching you right now. Isn't it an incredible thing that in this paradox, in this mystery that we live in our Christian lives, how to live this out, the first step is not trying to figure it all out and live it the way that you think it should be lived. The first step is to connect with the Holy Spirit of God so that the Holy Spirit of God shows you how to live in the paradox and the contrast and the mystery. Even to the extent of letting him evaluate how successful your life is. And that for me is the most difficult, because I want to assess my own success and then tell God he's not really doing enough because I should be more successful than I am. And God says, hold on. Am I not the one who is to evaluate your success? Am I not the one that gives you this paradox to live in? That for me is a great challenge. As we think about these things, as we wrestle with this paradox, I wanted to close with what Brian closed with. Because it's all throughout the Bible, this paradox, this mystery. Brian closed with this message, this text from Proverbs, Proverbs 3. I'm going to close with this text and then we'll pray. First, let me share a story with you. So I was wrestling with this week. I was trying to understand myself how this is done on our side. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, but how do we live it out? So as I was thinking about this, I was walking through the CNE. And as I was walking on the south side of the RICO Center in the hallway that's there, there was people gathered inside and outside, and I looked out this window, and it's like the world had been turned 90 degrees. Because I looked out the window, and people were running up the walls. I thought, whoa. This is very strange. No wonder people have stopped to look at this, because three people were running up and down the side of the wall. How does this happen? As I stood there and watched them, of course, as I went closer to the window, I could see the trampoline that was down below where they stood. But these three athletes bounced off the trampoline and then, as if they were running up the wall, put their feet on the side and then stood up in the end. And then fell back down again and ran up the wall and ran down the wall. It was surreal. And God said, Ken, are you watching? What does this have to do with what I'm going to talk about on Sunday, God? And am I not selling holidays? God said, it takes practice for those athletes to run up that wall, right? In the surreal reality of a 90-degree world, it takes practice for them to bounce on the trampoline and begin to understand how they run up the wall and make it look really easy. Isn't that in our faith what we are to do? Practice the faith. Practice the word. Read the word. And as James says, do what it says. So if the word says, be reconciled to your neighbor, then shut the word and go to the neighbor that you're not reconciled with and reconcile. It's a tool, right? It's a tool of practice, and you'll get stronger and stronger through it. But you have to do what it says, which may tempt you to read little bits of the Bible at a time. I would, because I can take about one thing at a time that God's teaching me to do, but I'll tell you, I'm far better in this living out my Christian walk than I was 25 years ago, I think. Seems easier than it was. Let me just close with this text. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is the Spirit of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats brim over with new wine. My son, my daughter, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent His rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father, the child He delights in. Let's pray. God, even through our own prayers, we are mystified by the truth that You hear us lowly humans, me speaking on behalf of these brothers and sisters of mine. You hear us. In our faith, and even in our fear, You walk alongside of us. I pray, Lord God, that You will reveal Yourself more and more to us to build our faith, to build my weak faith. Just like those athletes running up the wall, I pray, Lord God, that You'll teach us how to walk with You in the pace that You set for us. Draw us to Your will. Every person that's part of our church community and beyond, give us an attraction to Your word, a desire to be with You, a willingness to live out what we learn. I pray, Lord God, that You'll bless us and that You'll be with those who we care about and that we are on our hearts that are struggling right now. Lord God, from far and wide, we think of those who we care about and we pray about, and I pray that You'll continue to show us how we can live out our Christian faith for them. I pray that You'll teach us and guide us and direct us in the paradox and mystery that we live in. Please bless us as we go. Amen. Amen.